Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
Good morning. We are so excited that we have someone local with us today as part of our conversation around coaching. We have Tyler Slade, who grew up in Louisville, Colorado, and now lives nearby here with his wife and two young kids. He began his college journey as a student athlete at Wittenberg University, where academic struggles eventually led him to leave school. After being diagnosed with ADHD and dyslexia, he returned to finish his degree first at Front Range Community College here in Colorado, and then at Colorado State University, all while working full-time. His personal experience navigating learning differences is what drew him to this work. Tyler understands how hard school can feel without the right support, and he's passionate about helping students develop tools that actually work for them. Tyler has been with Untapped for 9 years and now focuses on growing the organization and building partnerships that allow more families to access the support they need. Outside of work, he likes being active and spending time with his wife, kids, and dogs, as that is very clear from our conversation about your recent camping experience. So welcome, Tyler. We're so grateful to have you on today. What would you like to share with our listeners that maybe wasn't captured in your bio?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited. I think that covers a lot of who I am in my background. So obviously, as you mentioned, I grew up, was very heavily into sports. So coaching was something always that was a big part of my life. And then once I was done with that phase and I wanted to figure out how I could give back in the same way, because I had so many good coaches over the years, which kind of brought me into what I do at Untapped Learning. And it was pretty natural transition with some of the challenges that I had coaching students to support them to overcome some of their challenges.
I'm going to jump in and ask a question because you said good coaches. And since this podcast is all about coaching, What makes a good coach in your opinion, Tyler?
I think it's someone who really knows how to adapt to whoever they are coaching, right? Everybody has different styles. Certain people are more receptive to a little bit more hands-on coaching or a little maybe tougher coaching, while other people need a totally different approach. So I think one of the things that I always look for and think back on the great coaches that I had were the ones who knew how to adapt to everybody that they worked with and had a different approach, but also had a really good mix of knowing when to push players and really hold them accountable, and then really when to step back and listen to the players or whoever, you know, the students or whoever they're coaching.
When you are coaching students or when you've been coached yourself, what type of coaching strategies worked for you? And how did that show up for you when you were in sports?
Yeah, for me, I was somebody who I liked more of that tougher coaching style. So I needed somebody who was very direct with me. I think I'm somebody who I do really well with direct feedback and just someone being very open and honest. And then, but also somebody giving me the space to make mistakes and learn from it. I think that's always the big thing, is having a good balance of guiding somebody in the right direction, but also knowing when to step back and let them make mistakes and learn from it and build their confidence that way.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense in sports coaching, as well as in, you know, more of the life coaching realm that LaShawn and I often work in. So what makes your approach at Untapped Learning effective, specifically effective coaching?
Yeah, I think anytime you have a coach who's been through similar experiences, I think that always helps the person who's receiving the coaching to be more open and receptive, because they actually feel like the person understands where they're coming from. And I think that's a great thing about Untapped and a lot of the students we work with. As I mentioned, they had struggles, they've had challenges that lead to anxiety, stress, or just not, you know, hurting their overall self-confidence. And a lot of our coaches have had similar challenges. As I mentioned, I ended up failing out of school, and that was really difficult for me, and it really hurt my confidence. So seeing some of these students go through these challenges and kind of helping them to get out in front of some of the issues that I had really is a powerful experience.
Do you have an example of a student that you worked with where the strategies that you used at Untapped Learning really helped turn a corner for them?
Yeah, I'm actually working with a college athlete right now who he was ineligible at the very get-go with school. And a lot of that too was he was struggling to balance all the personal aspects of being a freshman in college and a student athlete. So he was sleeping through alarms or forgetting to set the right alarms. He was forgetting to go buy his groceries and, the basic needs. So what we did was just kind of help him to set up his life and help him to organize and create systems and areas in a lot of these parts of his life where he was struggling, but then also really building structure. I think that one of the other good things about coaching that people really benefit for is having that structure and knowing the routines and the habits that tend to come from a typical coaching session, and helping transition that student to getting more structure on his own and teaching him how to do that was what really benefited him and helped him to turn the corner and now be eligible and playing again in college.
Yeah, that is really key in coaching, the systems and the structure that relate to habit formation, how people embody change. So how did he actually make the changes then? Like, was there a certain part of your approach where you were brainstorming ideas and he's like, this will work, and just went with it? Or was there a longer term process for making the change?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. I will say one thing that I really believe in, and this is what we do a lot with Untapped, is you can't force an approach on somebody, right? I think at the end of the day, as a good coach, what you want to do is equip whoever you're working with as much knowledge as possible, and then help them figure out which approach is going to work well for them. And once they have that, then to help them structure themselves, put guardrails, and then hold them accountable along the way. So I think with him, we found a few approaches that he needed to implement in his life. And then once he figured out the ways that he wanted to go about it, then I helped him, whether it was putting reminders in on his phone or, building locations where he had to go do certain tasks so he was away from his distractions. But then I also check in with him regularly as well. So I think that's something is knowing that upfront, nothing's going to be perfect. There's going to be mistakes made, but helping them to push and just be a tad better every day is always what we strive to do.
Yeah, the accountability piece comes up a lot in life coaching and in academic coaching as well as sports coaching. And I'm curious, Tyler, what is your take on accountability and where do you think that should come in the coaching process and what does it look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I actually like to ask whoever I'm coaching what's worked well for them and what accountability they think that they need. And that always helps where, if they're having one of those tough days and they're not feeling like following through, then you're like, this is what you asked from me, and this is what you thought would push you to reach your goals. So, and it really depends. I have a lot of students where upfront I tend to start a little bit heavier with that accountability because as they're building new routines and new habits and trying to switch approaches they've done for years, that takes a lot. It's really hard to change those routines up. So having that extra support and that extra push from the get-go really helps a lot. And then over time, what I actually like to do is have the accountability kind of transfer over to them. And over time saying, when you need support, I want you to kind of own that more and let me know when you're not following through or when you need an extra push from me. And that's kind of when I know that our students know the process, they know what works for them, is when they're the ones starting to ask me, like, this is the kind of support or accountability that I need.
That's great ownership.
Yeah, it definitely helps a lot with buying in, and especially we work with students, so we always try to give them, of course, as much say in the program as possible, but a lot of them don't love school, so their parents are kind of the ones pushing them in. But you're right, giving them that ownership and giving them that sense of control if they're doing a program they might not completely, be their favorite thing in the world, but having that sense of control, working with a coach that has taken the time to connect with them, that really tends to help with them buying in. And then overall, that turns into results.
Yeah, with your students, where do you see them struggling with ownership the most?
The biggest thing that we're seeing now is really just the following through with the task at the end of the day, and then and wanting to do it in a timely manner. I think there's so many distractions, technology's challenging, and now teachers have all these different portals, all these platforms. So it's really hard for students to really organize themselves. So I think a lot of our students just kind of say, you know what, there's too much going on and there's a lot more exciting things that I could be doing. So the biggest challenge for them normally is follow through.
And where does that go with ADHD and executive functioning? And how do you work specifically with students who are struggling with that?
Yeah, so yes, ADHD makes it a little bit more challenging sometimes to do the difficult tasks that aren't the most exciting and don't give you as much of a rush. And then same thing with the executive function challenges. A lot of our students struggle with task initiation, so they really do struggle getting started. So we obviously have multiple different approaches to work on this with students. We see some students that, a lot of times why they aren't getting started and they're procrastinating is actually more due to anxiety. They have this really big picture assignment, project, whatever it is, and they just don't even know where to start. So if we teach them a few strategies of, hey, here's, we're going to outline your presentation together first and just take it one step at a time, then we can kind of help them get that ball rolling. And then with other students, it could be as simple as changing up their study space. So it's really dependent based on the student and kind of where their challenge lies.
At what point in the process do the students say, I need this? Is it sometimes when they're well into the process, or is there a realization that happens earlier on? And what is that like?
Yeah, and that's it's very dependent, right? We see a lot of students who are actually asking their parents to come get support for us because they know, I might be doing okay in school, but I'm very overwhelmed by it and I'm spending more time because I'm not efficient or and really effective with my time. And then for some students, it takes, a few weeks to months. And then once we really start seeing them buying in is and I mentioned this, we really try to build relationships with them up front because we think that's when you are coaching, we think that's a really important piece is taking that time to build that connection, let the student know that you're on their side so that when you do need to hold them accountable and push them to try new approaches, they are receptive because they know that you really care about them and have their best interest. But some students, it takes a little while, like months, and where when they really start opening up to the support and seeing that they need it is they start to see their life is running a lot smoother, right? They're not late to everything. They're not anxious or stressed because they keep forgetting things and they're on top of their work. And we talk a lot at Untapped about really building discipline. And now if we take that time to build discipline with these approaches, it actually gives us more freedom at the end of the day. And then once students see, hey, I have more free time to hang out with my friends and do the things I really care about, that's where they really start buying in and being more open to the support.
I wanted to shift, Tyler, back to your own experience when you were in school. And what would you have liked to have had? What tools would you have liked to have known about when you were struggling in school?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There's obviously, working in this space now and working with a lot of students with ADHD and who are dyslexic, similar to me, I've learned a lot about some of the tools and strategies, and technology's changed a lot, which would be really beneficial. I'm somebody who, with the dyslexia and the ADHD, it's hard for me to sit still, and reading is also a challenge. So that's obviously a huge part of school. So what I do now with a lot of my students is I'll teach them to go for walks while they're listening to their textbook or and take notes on their phone and a lot of other strategies like that. I think those would have really benefited me. But also just having somebody to sit down and say, what are like your two lead dominoes that would have helped me get organized, I think would have been my big thing. Because I was always the student who shoved everything in my backpack. I lost my work, so I had to keep redoing it. So having somebody help me to learn more about how my brain worked and some of the technology around that would have been beneficial, but then also organizing me physically, I think would have made a world of difference.
I also am interested in the system, the schooling system. But what are your insights in the system, the schooling system, and where there's opportunity for really supporting those students in the school system and finding that, that they need those tools early, so that they're not struggling on their own?
Yeah, and teachers obviously have, and schools have a big challenge, right? I think the great thing that we're able to do at Untapped is we work one-on-one, so we can really individualize everything for the student, help learn how their brain works, but also help them understand how their brain works. Because at the end of the day, any good coach, you want to give them the tools so they no longer need you at the end of the day. And I think what schools can really lean into is with all this technology out there. I know AI is such a buzzword right now, but that's one thing that we work on a lot with students is how do we use these tools out there to individualize to the student. So maybe even just putting their interest in there, but also helping train some of these tools to know how their brain works so that they can shift that information in a way that they really understand. Because that's, teachers are kind of trying to teach to the middle of the class generally because they have 20 to 30 students. So then if students know how to take that information, or if teachers know how to do it and then individualize it to each student with some of these tools, we've actually seen a lot of more teachers doing that. And it's crazy. The buy-in from the students and then just the amount that they're retaining is just skyrocketing when they're doing that.
Yeah, so individualizing learning in the classroom is a win-win because it helps with your work outside of the classroom. And so there's a very much a reciprocal process there, which makes a lot of sense. And speaking of more individualized support, you mentioned the messy backpack, and that seems to plague a lot of middle school students that I've encountered. But oftentimes that can coincide with being creative or having these really key strengths. So LaShawn and I talk a lot about strengths-based coaching and how strengths fit in to our own coaching processes, but would love to hear more about how that shows up in your world and how you may do some strengths spotting with students and help them utilize their strengths.
Yeah, that's a really great question. So one of the first things we always do is sit down and just do like an initial assessment with students. And a lot of that is to figure out where their strengths are. I think to your point, the best thing you can do as a coach is first figure out where those strengths are, because that's generally where they're going to be most confident. And then you can lean into those when you're trying to build some of these other skills. Because if you're just really focusing on the areas that they're struggling with over time, the concern is always hurting their confidence, right? Because you're always just focusing on what's negative or what areas do they need to improve. So if you know where they're doing well, it's like, okay, you've got this area, you're really strong. How do we take this area you tend to struggle and try to lean into your strength to kind of bring you up in this other area? So yeah, we always try to do that up front, and it's a mixture of obviously getting the results, but then keeping the confidence high and letting them know, like, we don't want to change every aspect of who you are, right? You have these amazing qualities. Just because you have a few struggles doesn't mean that you're not capable, you're not smart, because you really are. We just need to, put some more structures into place in those areas, and then lean more into your strengths so that you can really, reach the top levels out there for yourself.
And I have a question that counters that one in some ways too. Sometimes as coaches, we have to have difficult conversations with our clients or students or individuals when things maybe aren't going well or when we're seeing these patterns of behavior persist. What is your approach to having a difficult conversation?
This goes back to, I always spend a lot of time up front building that relationship. I think if whoever you're coaching knows that you really care about them and that you want what's best for them, it's a lot easier to have that conversation as the coach, but it's also a lot easier for them to be receptive to it versus immediately shutting down or getting defensive. So I think upfront building that connection and then also setting goals with them and saying, these are the goals you set, and I'm here to support you to reach these goals. And you're not owning this piece of it. So, at the end of the day, we need to figure out, is it something we need to change, or are these even the right goals for you? Are you willing to put that work in there? And I think the conversations, it's still always a hard conversation, but if you have that foundation set from the get-go, it makes it a lot easier up front. And then also, I would say the other pieces, have like regular check-ins instead of waiting for things to pile up. 'Cause I think a lot of times it's you try to avoid these conversations, and the more you avoid it, the bigger the challenge gets, which makes the conversation at the end of the day a lot more challenging. So if you can just regularly check in and let them know, like, hey, we're on pace here, or we need to reset in this area, then it makes those conversations a little bit easier to have.
The concept of building relationships and having that relationship, and I think that's the foundation that you build on when you're having those difficult conversations, when you've built that relationship and that trust. So with young people, teens and young adults, how does that show up?
Yeah, so a lot of what we do that's a little bit different, our approach with executive function coaching is a little different than other people's out there, because we from the get-go will do an intake, and we really just try to pair based on interest, personality, and make it a little bit more natural up front versus trying to force a relationship that or a connection that might not be as natural. And then it's really so dependent on the type of student we work with. We work with really wide-ranging group of students. So we have, say, maybe more anxious students where for them it's we'll go for a walk, and or we'll sit and draw together, and then they'll tend to open up with us over time. Then we'll have other students where I think we see this a lot too with our middle school and our high school boys. They don't really like to open up, talk about their feelings or how they're doing. But if we say start throwing a football around with them and talking, it's very different than just sitting across from a table from them, and they'll tell you a lot of things that are stressing them out and things that they would never have told you otherwise. So what we do is have that natural connection first based on those interests, and then we try to get them out of that setting where a lot of them don't feel as comfortable, which is that like classroom academic setting, and get them in an area they do feel comfortable. And once we do that, then they'll kind of open up, get us to what the root of a lot of their challenges are, and that helps us to kind of know where to start. And we always start up talking about like what is their lead domino, right? Back to getting them to buy in. We want to give them those early wins early on, so then that way when things aren't going as good or we do need to hold them accountable, they remember, okay, this has been successful and it's worked a lot in the past. So finding the lead domino that's going to give them that early win will get them to buy in a little bit more in the process, but also help them to be willing to put in more work over time to get those results.
Yeah, that's great. It's meeting them where they're at, just like we do in life coaching and other spaces. And it's great to be able to see, kind of get an idea of what that's like, because my experience has been working with adults, and I know Aaron works with adults as well. So it's great to hear how coaches might work with young people, teenagers and young adults. So thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, it's definitely a different approach. We do work with a lot of, right out of college, so early 20s, and it's a very different approach than the middle school student. But like as you mentioned, at the end of the day, you want to make sure that you're meeting them where they're at so that you can really figure out where you should first start and then what support they need along the way.
I did have a question a long time ago that I wanted to ask in the conversation. I want to bring it back up about strength. And Tyler, what are some of your top strengths and how do you use them in coaching?
Yeah, I would say I am somebody who I'm quick to learn and adapt. So that's something that is a huge benefit in all areas, but especially coaching. And then also, I think being able to learn from whoever you're coaching, right? Instead of going in thinking that you have all the answers, I think going in knowing this person's going to teach you stuff along the way and is going to change up, if you have something planned out, but it's not always going to go 100% to plan. So I quickly can learn and adapt from whoever I'm working with. And that really helps to really build out something and an approach that really works specifically for them.
Anything else? I know that's one example, and sometimes it's hard to say our top strengths, and that can feel really challenging. But maybe one or two other examples as well, because I think coaching is such a strengths-based profession and approach, and I think sometimes it draws a particular set of strengths out in those providers, and would love to hear more about yours.
Well, and I would think the other thing that I think I generally do a really good job of is connecting with the people that I work with. As I mentioned, I have had a lot of these challenges, so I feel like I can really relate to them. And so I spend a lot of time up front really trying to just listen to them, giving them that space to open up, start to feel comfortable with me, and help them to feel understood. Anytime you are coaching somebody, just letting them know, I know I've touched on this a few times, but letting them know that you're really on their side and that you're there to push them to be the very best and based on their goals, right? And I think that's also something that's really unique for a lot of the students that we work with. A lot of times they don't even think about what their goals are. A lot of people just talk about like, what do your parents want for you and all that. So giving them that space to voice what they want from themselves and in their lives is something that really is a strength that I try to lean into, is just taking that time to listen and to connect with them so that they do listen to me at the end of the day when I'm trying to guide them to grow.
That's great. Thank you so
Before,
much.
yeah, thank you. Before we get into our coaching nuggets of wisdom, Tyler, was there anything else you wanted to make sure you shared today in our conversation?
No, I think you guys had great questions and that kind of covered everything that I was hoping on talking about.
Okay, great. Well, at the end of our episodes, every single time we offer coaching nuggets of wisdom from our conversation that we just had. So, LaShawn and I can go first as an example, and then we'll ask you to share one at the end. And these are just information that really stood out to us from the recording today. So, my coaching nugget of wisdom is getting into this relational aspect for coaches and how important that is to establish that from early on to support the change process and what an individual may be going through. So I think coaches, here's a nugget of wisdom for you today. Ask yourselves, how are you establishing effective relationships in your coaching meetings?
Yeah, thank you, Erin. I think that's one of the things that really stood out for me. And another thing that really stood out for me was the innovation and also just different approaches with, the particular clients, that untapped learning, that Tyler that you work with. And so one thing that just kept coming up for me was just innovation and also collaboration, working with your client, working with the people in your lives outside of coaching, and just being really creative and open and curious and really meeting people where they're at. So those were some things that came up for me, was innovation, collaboration, and meeting people where they're at. And where can you find ways to do that in your own life, whether you're a coach or not? So Tyler, you want to share your coaching nugget of wisdom?
Yeah, my nugget of wisdom would be to upfront really take that time to set expectations with whoever you're working with and help them to set goals, and not necessarily the goals that you have for them, but what goals that they have for themselves. That way you can hold them accountable along the way and early and often check in to see how things are going so that you can constantly be resetting and adapting your approach. That way, you're always really helping them to work towards their goals and keeping them motivated by keeping them, that progress steady throughout the whole course.
Thank you, Tyler and LaShawn. We have been speaking with Tyler Slade of Untapped Learning here in Colorado. Tyler's organization helps adolescents, young adults through an inspired coaching process to ensure they have the tools and resources they need to live the life they want. Thanks for joining us, Tyler.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Before we let you go, Tyler, can you let our listeners know where they can find you?
Yeah, so you can find us at untappedlearning.com. There's a lot about, you know, what we do with students, but also there's support out there for parents of how you can best support your students if your students are having troubles academically, but also in their personal life of keeping up with whatever their commitments are. There's a lot of good resources on there.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Maychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.